Right. Good morning once again. Apologize for being a little discombobulated here, but we'll get there. All right. Thank you to our praise team, as always. And thank you. Jake's not here to remind me to turn this on. Jake, wherever you are, I remembered. So, so thankful for our praise team and for our young people, especially, and helping to lead us with the Advent lighting and with the music too. So what a joy. This morning we are continuing our break from our study in Joshua, having our time of focusing on devotions, on Advent canvases, on which we are exploring the themes of hope and peace and joy and love. And you may remember a couple weeks ago we explored hope as we joined the woman at the well and drinking deeply of the living water that Jesus offers. And last week, Paul gave us a game plan for peace found in his letter to the Philippians. And this week, joy is on the table. You may remember last week I said we were going to put it on the back burner. It was actually in our message for last week, but we're going to explore it fully somewhat today. And today we're going to be turning to a Christmas classic, The Shepherds in the Field, One Starry Night, which we've already heard some of the scripture for this morning. So if you have your copy of God's Word, please head to the Gospel according to Luke. Chapter 2 is where we are today. Luke chapter 2. And as you're turning there, our one big idea for today is this. It's simply the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Pray with me, please. Lord, we do thank you again for this day and for this time we have. We thank you for this season, Lord, where we really set aside time to fully ponder the wonder that it is that you would set aside your heavenly glory to come and tabernacle with us, Lord, to dwell with us, to be with us, Lord. You continue to be with us, Lord, and to watch over us and to guide us and to desire intimate relationship with us, Lord. It's the wonder and the joy of the offer of forgiveness of sins. The wonder that it is, Lord, that we can know your perfect peace, Lord. That we can have your hope and we can have your joy as we experience your love. God, today I pray that we would hear your words and your words alone, Lord. Never mind. And God, I pray for our kids downstairs and those leading them, Lord, that this would be a sweet time for them as well. In Jesus' name, amen. So our first truth today is this. It's there is great joy in the promises of Jesus. Look at verse 8 of Luke chapter 2. Again, we've heard this already. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." So we jump in here very deep into the Christmas story, if you will. The angel Gabriel has already gone and told Mary what is going to happen. And an angel has given similar news to her husband, Joseph. And they have made the long trip to Bethlehem as part of the need to register for the census. And because of the overcrowded conditions, as everyone was returning to their ancestral homes, we find that when the time for the baby comes to be born, they find themselves in the humblest of abodes, in the stables made for the animals with a feeding trough for a crib. And if we were just kind of zoomed in on this, like looking at this from a movie, that this is where the camera, it pans up into the inky sky with the stars shimmering all around as the newborn babe's cries kind of fade away. And then the camera pans back down and we see these shepherds out in the open fields of the countryside, and we see them guarding their responsibility, their sheep, from the attacks of predators. And as they pass the night, just as they likely had, y'all are going to have to excuse me a lot today, so just go ahead and show me some grace.
Excuse you.
No words from the peanut gallery. Just as they have likely done hundreds of nights before, when all of a sudden... Hey, how are you?
They're okay.
Don't mind us.
Hot tea. Okay. Let it cool down for just a second, though, okay? And so here they are. Things get interesting. That's a good wife, right? I mean, right? Jim, you're with me, right? All right? That's a good wife, right? Okay? I see him shaking his head over there. Things get interesting. An angel appears. I don't know if I'm going to make it, y'all. An angel appears, and as usually happens when an angel appears, there's trepidation that goes on with them. Now, I want to give the shepherds a little bit of grace, a little bit of slack here, and them fearing as these angels appear, because Scripture says the glory of the Lord shone around them. All right, now, we really need to think a second what that truly means. Let's think of some other times in the Bible where we've seen the glory of the Lord. Think about Exodus 24:17 on the mountain. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Exodus 40:35, Moses could not enter the temple of meeting because the cloud had settled upon it and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Okay, so this is what's going on out there in those fields. But the angel countered their fear with the promise of great joy. And this joy would be based on the identity of this baby. All right? That's what the angel comes back with. And we see here, as the angel gives the good news, the three titles used by the angels in describing Jesus. He's said to be the Savior, the Messiah, and the Lord. Messiah, or the Christ, that's the Old Testament anointed one. The promised one to come, spoken of by so many of the prophets. The one who would reconcile, the one who would restore, the one who would bring hope. And Jesus, later in quoting how Isaiah 61 was fulfilled by himself, he spoke in Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." So this is the good news of Emmanuel, God with us, the truth that Jesus came to get up close and personal, that he desires relationship with each one of us, relationship that meets our deepest, deepest needs. Now, this morning, I want to allow this kind of, we're going to take a shower this morning, okay? I took one, I promise, okay? We're going to take a different kind of shower. We're going to take a scripture shower, all right? And I want you to just let this scripture shower of verses just kind of flow over you this morning. These verses that speak to the joy we can experience in God's love for us, all right? Just kind of receive this. Take this in. Psalm 90, verse 14. "Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days." Psalm 94:18. "When I said, my foot is slipping, your unfailing love, Lord, supported me. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy." Isaiah 49:13. "Shout for joy, O heavens. Rejoice, O earth. Burst into song, O mountains. For the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones." Psalm 31:7. "I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul." Psalm 30:11, "You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever." Psalm 40:16, "But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say, the Lord is great." Then you know my favorite, Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. What a great truth that it's not just about us rejoicing, but that the Lord rejoices over us with singing nonetheless, right? And I guarantee you his voice sounds better than mine right now, okay? Beyond our everyday needs, there is also great joy in knowing that he comes to meet our greatest and deepest need, the need to have our sins forgiven so that we can be at peace with our God, in relationship with our God. Isaiah 61:10. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. All those filthy rags of past sin and shame and guilt and hurt, take it off, all right? Robes of righteousness, that is what we are given when we are in him, and that is definitely cause for great joy. Isaiah 12:3, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. There's that living water we've been talking about. The greatest cause for joy we will ever have, and a joy that we can hold on to even when other things in our life or the circumstances of our life may threaten to pull us down, is the joy of those that have experienced his salvation through the forgiveness of sins. And in that joy, we know that we have been declared to be children of God. All right. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And in that truth, we are promised both hope for eternity and we are promised help for right now. It's good news of great joy, and it was first delivered to these shepherds, these trepidatious, is that a word? These trepidatious shepherds, okay? But why them? Why the shepherds? Well, there's debate as to why it's such a big deal that the angelic proclamation of the birth of Jesus was given first to these shepherds. And one thought is that the shepherds were often viewed as outcast and unclean to be able to take part in the temple experience, and that they were not to be trusted. And therefore, it was a really big deal that this offer of salvation, this good news, was first proclaimed to them. But we also must remember that there is a very positive view of shepherds throughout the scripture as well. After all, the great King David was himself first what? He was a shepherd. Okay? So some shepherds, yes, were on the fringe of society, but some shepherds were just ordinary Joes, or ordinary Davids in this case, all right, who were making a living the same way that generations of their ancestors had done before them. And whatever the case, the message was still the same. The good news of great joy is for all people, no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, or no matter what you have done or what has been done to you. Perhaps there's also an importance in not so much who the shepherds were, but what the shepherds did in light of how Jesus is our ultimate good shepherd. Consider like Ezekiel 34:12. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Our good shepherd is who we will remember and celebrate shortly here at the communion table. And we do it with a great reverence, but we also do it with a great joy. Now consider this, the birth of Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus, the role of Jesus as our Savior is not just good news of great joy here on earth, but somewhere else as well. Luke 15:10, in the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The joy of salvation echoes across eternity. Our next truth this morning is this: there is great joy in being near Jesus. Look at verse 13. Start reading ahead. I'll be with you in a minute.
This is good.
A lot of sugar in it.
That's cool. Okay, there it is. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Now for this section, our theme is this: choose joy. When confronted with this great news, the shepherds had a choice to make. They could either have been momentarily interested in what they saw and heard, or they could go and learn more about it by going and being near to Jesus. A moment ago, we talked about the greatest joy, the forgiveness of sins, but that is not an automatic thing that happens. When the angels spoke of peace on earth, don't miss the qualification here. The peace of God that comes from being at peace with God is for those who have experienced his favor, right? Peace on those whom his favor rests upon, okay? It is his grace that we experience in personally calling on him as our Lord. Jesus, please forgive me. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you are God. I believe you paid my penalty for my sin and your death and resurrection. Be my Lord. Be my leader. Help me to follow you closely all the days of my life. This is the grace that he has extended and the grace we must choose to receive in order to receive that joy. So we can choose joy for eternity. But joy is also a daily choice. This is going to sound familiar. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. That sounds like what we heard last week, all right? Because it is what we heard last week as we did part of our peace study. Here, Paul gives us this imperative, all right? It's not a suggestion, but a command to rejoice. And just in case we're distracted the first time, he repeats it. Again, I say, rejoice. But I think that's because we need to hear it more than one time, or maybe more than two times or three times. Notice the key here is to rejoice in the Lord. Because while many may search for joy and momentary happiness and a laundry list of what the world has to offer, of what seems like it will make us happy, at least for the moment, true joy will only be found as we choose the right source, rooted deep in Jesus. Joy in the Lord. Job 20, verse 5 said, "The mirth of the wicked is brief. The joy of the godless lasts but a moment." Right? I'm getting ready to drop some real deep theological truth on you. Are you ready? Okay? All right? This is why y'all have me as the pastor here, okay? Here it comes. Life is not always easy. Done, all right? I can say nothing more, okay? No. And that's like, wow, that's deep, Sam, okay? Life is not always easy. That is not a news flash to any single one of us here today. We need true joy. Joy that lasts, joy that guides us, not just on the mountaintop experiences, but even more when we find ourselves in the valleys of life, in the midst of difficulty or persecution or suffering, we can actively choose to respond in a spirit of joy. Right? It is not to rejoice in the situation, but it is to rejoice in the Lord whose power and love reign over the situation. It is a sense of joy in knowing that God can build us up in those moments and can bring good out of all things. James 1:2, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. See, sometimes we read that and we're just ready to close the Bible at that point, okay? Consider it pure joy when you experience trials. Well, I can't do that, right? But it goes on to say, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. That's the kind of joy we're talking about. It's not joy in the hardship, but it's joy in the strength of our growing dependence, not on our strength, but on His strength. All right? The joy of the Lord is our strength. And our choosing joy, think of the first encounter that some of the Philippians had with Paul back in Acts 16, the same person who wrote Rejoice. He had been in prison. Remember that? And what was he doing while he was in prison? He was praying and he was singing hymns of praise to the Lord. He could have lived in fear that night while he was in jail. He could have responded with anger that night. He could have curled up in the corner and just been overwhelmed and just been kind of done for the night. But in all of this, that's not what he chose. He chose joy in the moment. Joy is our anchor. Now, don't hear me wrong, okay? It doesn't mean that we don't have other emotions, okay? All right, we still have anger righteously. We still have fear at times. We still have anxiety at times. We still have grief at times. We still have sadness at times. Joy is not just saying, wipe all those away. You can't feel that way anymore. But joy is the bedrock that lies beneath all of those things, right? That helps us to handle each one of those appropriately so we're not overwhelmed in the midst of the situation. Because though the ship be tossed on the surface from the raging storm, the anchor of joy goes down deep and it holds fast as it is set firmly on the bedrock, right? The rock of our salvation, trusting in our Lord in the situation. So we can have grief, we can have sadness, we can have all of these things, but we know below that we have something more that is going to guide us and strengthen us through that time. And therefore, we can call out Romans 12:12, be joyful in hope. In choosing joy, I do want to note something. Sometimes I think there's probably too big a deal made about the difference in joy and happiness. Okay, if you've read any number of devotions or done any number of Bible studies, we talk about the difference in joy and happiness. Okay, one is about circumstances, one is about something deeper. All right? Joy is not simply some stoic, everything is under control, so I am fine sort of attitude. In some cases, joy is simply, well, joy, right? It's about being happy and rejoicing and being glad in the Lord. I mean, think about it. Joy is the response the wise men had when they saw the star of Jesus and when they came to the child himself. Joy is the response that we see in John 3 where it talks about the friend of the bridegroom and the joy they have in celebrating this with them. The word literally means full of cheer. So in addition to the joy we have in difficult moments as we trust in God to hold us close, let's think about the other reasons we have to rejoice. And let's be thankful for those as well. We can rejoice in the simple things of life, right? We can rejoice in nature, creation that our Creator has given us. We can have joy in the laughter of a young child. We can have joy in the fact that God is with us in all things. We can have joy in the things that bring us pleasure in life. Then there's the greatest joy we can know. Luke 10:20. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So in all of this, our choice to live in joy, to delight in simple pleasures, while also depending on that anchor of trust in the harder times, our choice directly impacts how we carry ourselves, all right? Which does not only impacts ourselves, but others around us. Okay, joy doesn't mean that you just have to have a smile plastered on your face all the time, all right? I got joy, okay? All right, remember, joy is deeper, all right? It's deeper than that, all right? But when we have that joy guiding us, it can be noticed by others, right? How are you dealing with what you're dealing with, okay? I got joy, all right? I need some vitamin C, all right? But we all need vitamin J. You know what vitamin J is? The joy of Jesus, all right? You got to get your daily intake. I don't know, like 1,000 milligrams. I don't know how much you need, all right? We need a lot, though, okay? We need the joy of Jesus in our life. And how do we get that? By doing what the shepherds did. They desired to go be near Jesus. They wanted to be near this baby that they had heard so much about. How do we have joy? According to Galatians 5, it is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And the only way fruit will grow is by staying connected to the tree. Okay? I'm no gardener, right? But if I think I sit an apple in the yard, it's not going to grow into a bigger apple by itself, okay? It's got to be connected to the tree in order for the fruit to be produced. And it's the same with us. The only way we're going to have the fruit of joy is as we stay near to the Lord and stay connected to Him. Let's take another scripture shower this morning with some encouraging verses about the joy of being near to Jesus. Psalm 5:11, "But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you." Psalm 16:11, "You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." Acts 2:25, "I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices." Psalm 89:15, "Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, Lord. They rejoice in your name all day long. They celebrate your righteousness." Where is joy found? Walking with Jesus, clinging to Jesus, laughing with Jesus, crying with Jesus, taking a walk with Jesus, finding strength and wisdom in Jesus. It's not just the joy of what he does for us, but it's the joy of who he is to us. Psalm 43:4, "God, my joy and my delight." Our final truth quickly this morning is this: there is great joy in sharing Jesus and in savoring Jesus. Look at verse 17. "When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." We can experience joy as we share Jesus with others in both word and in deed. The shepherds joyfully told everyone all around Bethlehem what they had learned about this anonymous baby out in the stables. And notice how everyone responded, right? There was great joy. And we have great joy in our sharing the good news of Jesus, the truth to another that they are loved with an unfailing love. There is joy in being a blessing to others, both with our words and with our actions. As we draw others closer to themselves, taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 96:2, "Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise." We can also know joy by savoring Jesus, right? By savoring Jesus, as both the shepherds and Mary do here in the scripture passage, by praising his name and by pondering on his awesome majesty, his wonderful deeds, his amazing love. One way we can have joy in this pondering is by simply spending time in his word. Psalm 19:8, "The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart." Jeremiah 15:16, "When your words came, I ate them." That was always a fun children's Sunday school lesson to do, all right? You can eat construction paper today, all you want, okay? Go for it, all right? "When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight." What is the greatest truth about joy that we can ponder? I submit it might be Hebrews 12:2. For the joy set before him, he, Jesus, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What a thought that Jesus counts it all joy to both be completely obedient to the plan of God the Father, and all joy that we can know salvation, no matter what price he had to pay to achieve it. Mary here is noted as a woman who treasured the wonder of Jesus. May we be people likewise who ponder the truth of Jesus, the beauty of Jesus, the awesomeness of Jesus. Psalm 107:43. Let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. Psalm 111:2. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. So in our right reflection on just how good he is and just how much he loves us, may we have true and lasting joy. Pray with me, please. Lord, again, we just thank you for the joy that you give us, Lord. The joy that you make possible, Lord. And God, my prayer is that we could each know how to walk through our days in that joy. And God, I'm the first one to say that's not easy. But Lord, may we know what that looks like, God. In the midst of everything we're going through, in the midst of all our other emotions we may be dealing with, to have something deep, Lord, deep within us, Lord, that depends on you, that allows us to navigate each day and whatever each day holds, Lord, with a trust and a strength that only you can provide, Lord. God, I also just thank you for the simple joys you give us, Lord, that make us smile, make us laugh. The joy of sharing fellowship with one another, the joy of having a meal with brothers and sisters, Lord. The joy of going out in the neighborhood and singing Christmas carols together, Lord. We thank you for these simple things, God. God, may we ponder you more. May we ponder your love more. May it be a treasure to us. In Jesus' name, amen.